Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you very much, and welcome to Face to Face. Glad to have you with us. We are in the baseball season. That means a couple of things. First of all, that means that we get to interview a lot of baseball players. Baseball players are good to interview because they've got a lot of free time on their hands. A lot of times you get into other sports like basketball or football and you got to kind of catch guys on the run. But I like baseball guys because they've got time. We've got a couple today, both of them with the Milwaukee Brewers. One is Blaine Boyer. Blaine is a relief pitcher. And last year he was with the Minnesota Twins. We had a chance to meet him last year when we did a show with Kyle Gibson. And Blaine actually came up and asked if he could be on the show. And we were able to work it out this year that Blaine would be on the show with us. And had a chance to meet him out in Maryvale, which is the spring training headquarters of the Milwaukee Brewers. And Blaine Boyer is here, but also we've got a second interview, and it's a little different today because when you get into spring training, a lot of times you have to do the interviews early in the morning because these guys are doing a lot of various things, working out. And so we had Blaine Boyer. And then also Marcus Hainel, who is the bullpen coach for the Milwaukee Brewers. And both of these guys, solid Christians. In fact, Marcus has had an influence on so many guys in baseball that have come through. Most of them with the Milwaukee Brewers, a team that he's been with for a long time, I think 19 years. But also a number of other players who happen to know him. Baseball's like a huge fraternity, and maybe even more so than other sports. But today, a double deal for you. Blaine Boyer, the relief pitcher for the Milwaukee Brewers, and then also Marcus Hainel. We'll take a break and be back, and you will hear these two interviews on Face to Face. All right, welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest today is Blaine Boyer, the right-handed reliever for the Milwaukee Brewers. Blaine, first of all, thanks for being a part of Face to Face.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Tom.
You are certainly a survivor. You were drafted in the third round in 2000. You're with the Milwaukee Brewers now. The Brewers are your ninth team. You've been with the Braves, the Cardinals twice, Diamondbacks, Mets, Pirates, Kansas City Royals, San Diego Padres, Minnesota Twins. And you also had a stint in Japan. How have you been such a survivor? How have you approached this game, knowing that from year to year, you never know what's going to happen?
It's been interesting, to say the least. It's been enduring, especially the last part of my career. You know, in 2000, I think 12 it was, we walked away just from the standpoint of I just got sick of the constantly moving around, and especially we were expecting our second child, and I just wanted to be there the whole time. And so from my standpoint, I was able to walk away easily. And then all of a sudden I had a buddy, Paul Byrd, tell me, kind of call me out, say, hey man, God has gifted you with these gifts that not everybody has, man, and it gives you a platform to stand on. He said, you're going to be sitting before the throne one day, and you don't want to have to say that you took that for granted. And I came back, and so glad I did. I had a whole another lease of life on the game, and just really, really enjoyed it with my boys and my wife, and we've kind of made it a family adventure now. So it's awesome. It's great.
Yeah, one thing I was thinking about, you grew up in Marietta, Georgia. You're a third-round draft choice of the Braves. Was it a fulfillment for you to play for the Braves when you signed with them in 2000?
It certainly was. You know, that's the team you grew up watching. You know, I was there all through the 90s and watching Smoltz and Glavin and Maddox, and even through the terrible years in the 80s, you know, we were always a Braves fan. And so to be able to be drafted by the Braves, it was incredible in its own, but then to actually make it up and play for the team and help them win the division in 2005 was a blast.
Yeah, tell me about that a little bit. As you're coming up through the minors, third round draft choice, you know that you pretty good shot at you. They've made an investment in you. Can you remember the first time that you got a chance to step on the mound at what was a Turner Field back then?
Oh yeah, I remember it like it was yesterday. We were playing the Oakland A's, and there was actually a rain delay, and I think it was Horatio Ramirez. No, it wasn't Horatio. Somebody else started, and then the delay was a little bit too long, so they said, "Boy, you're gonna pitch the fifth." So I ended up going in, gave up a run, but man, it was a dream come true to step foot on that mound. And then you know I had a pretty decent stint there, so I got to play with Chipper and Smoltz and Glavin in 08, and it was just. It was crazy. It was wild.
I know there were guys, too, that helped you along spiritually, and John Smoltz and Paul Byrd and guys like that. Tell me a little bit about what it was like to play with them from a spiritual standpoint.
Well, it's just great to see guys that do play the game that don't, you know, the game is not their identity. So that was a huge, that was my first initial sight when I look at Smoltz and then getting to know Paul Byrd real well. Baseball is not, that's not my identity. That's not who I identify myself as, Blaine Boyer, the baseball player, because I had a lot of really good guys kind of go before me and help me understand that very simple fact. Man, if you put all the marbles in this game in your hat, you're done, because this game's going to kill you, much like life does. And really anybody that goes to work, has a 9-to-5 job, does whatever they do, still performance-based jobs, if that's where you're getting your identity from, man, it's gonna let you down every time. So I obviously am thankful that I was able to come to the realization that my identity lies in Christ alone, and so blessed to have that consistent God that loves me, and regardless of what I do, however many times I fail or succeed, his love is never ceasing, and it is consistent throughout.
Has it always been that way for you? Did you grow up in a strong Christian home, and Jesus Christ was kind of introduced to you early?
No, I did not. I didn't grow up in a, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. We didn't really go to church or anything. But I had some friends. My parents divorced early, and it was tough on my mom, it was tough on my dad, and they just tried to put things together, or put pieces together, so they were worried about that. But I had some really good friends that had some awesome family lives and some parents that just showed me Jesus from that standpoint. And so going into my sophomore year high school is when I accepted Christ, and that was the biggest day, biggest decision by far, that I most important decision I've ever made in my life.
On a team like the Brewers that you're on now, or on every team that you're on, of course teammates are very important, and there's all different kinds of personalities thrown together. Mm-hmm. Do you find yourself gravitating towards Christians and becoming somewhat of a spiritual help to other players? I know obviously you spend time with all the players, but what's that like?
Well, I certainly hope not. I certainly hope I don't gravitate towards just the Christians. That's kind of an issue that we had today. Is we don't want to isolate ourselves from everybody else. That's a huge issue. I think God has given me, as a believer, I think God is He calls you to love everybody. Love everybody. Love your neighbor. Love God. Love people. That's what we're supposed to do. So this clubhouse is no matter what. Which clubhouse you go to, whether it's Minnesota or whether it's here or whether it's St. Louis, Atlanta, any other clubhouse in the big leagues, there's people from all over the world, completely different backgrounds. So what a cool place to actually have a mission field, and it's all right there in front of you.
And I know God can direct your life. In fact, I read that when you came back, one of the key people that helped you get back in the game was Dayton Moore, who's an outstanding Christian man.
Awesome.
With Kansas City Royals. Tell me what he meant to get you back into this game.
He's awesome. Well, Dayton drafted me. Dayton was with Atlanta when I was drafted in 2000. So I've known Dayton for a long time. He's an unbelievable man of faith, and just he's just a rock. And so he is certainly one of my allies here in this game. And when I decided to come back, I called him. He was my first guy I called, and he said, no doubt, come on. We'll bring you into camp. And he just asked me one question. He said, are you healthy? I said, yeah, I'm good to go. He said, that's all I need. Come on. And so he brought me back into camp. And man, I do owe a lot of this to Dayton.
I know one thing too, that now that you are here, one of the things that you do is to help out on the outside, off the field. You have a group called Help One Now. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, Help One Now is I actually got the guys in town right now. They're visiting me. I'm on the board of Help One Now, and you can go to helponenow.org to check it out. But I mean, it's for the most part, we go to places where not many people want to go, and are the the premises is basically keep families together, all impoverished nations. Haiti, for instance, which was devastated by the earthquake, which was already devastated beforehand, but it even made it worse than the earthquake. Trying to get behind a local leader, local churches, and empower them to make a difference throughout the community. And all sorts of different, whether it be trafficking, whether it be hunger, whether it be, especially in Haiti, which is where I've been the last two years. And they just got a lot of stuff going on right now that the church needs to step up. Church needs to help. People need to help. People need to see what's going on out there. And whether you give your time, give your money, prayers, whatever, it's bad. So we do stuff in Haiti. We do stuff in Uganda, Congo, all over the place. And it's basically the same thing. We go and find a leader in whatever that country may be, and we get behind them and hopefully impact that community. So,
at this point in your career right now, can you just tell me in a few words what Jesus Christ means to you in relation to the game, in relation to life, in relation to everything?
Anything and everything. That's it. That's all he is. He is my end, my beginning, and my end, and my strength. So I owe all to him, and certainly thankful for all the blessings he's bestowed upon me and my family.
Certainly appreciate your time being with us today. Let's close it this way. Do you have a favorite verse? Do you have anything that stands out in your mind?
Well, I always love Psalm 34:4. I sought the Lord, he answered me and delivered from all my fears. That's my go to, because I always find myself in one of those self-doubting, questioning something, and it's easy to seek the Lord and let him deliver you.
Blaine Boyer, it's a thrill and a chance to meet you. Good luck with the Brewers. Hope that this is a team that you can stick with this year, and hope that you have a great year, and thank you so much for your witness and your testimony.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
All right. Blaine Boyer of the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll take a break and be back, so don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. All right, welcome back to Face to Face. We're in the Milwaukee Brewers camp, and we're with Marcus Hanel. He is our guest and longtime bullpen catcher for the Brewers. Marcus, thanks for spending time.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Tell me, what exactly does a bullpen catcher do? A lot of people think that the third string catcher is the guy that warms people up, but it's not that at all. Tell me what the bullpen catcher does for a team.
I know. Just like in our faith, I'm just a servant to this team. I get a chance to warm up all the pitchers, you know, before game, during the game, throw batting practice to the starting pitchers, and whatever the coaches may need of me, I also am able to help out. You know, we go through scouting reports and make sure that our guys are prepared during the game to face those major league hitters.
There's a lot of metrics that go into baseball these days. Are you involved in that quite a bit as to which pitchers are going to pitch and all those that various things?
All the paperwork and all the scouting report on that kind of stuff is done upstairs, and they give it to us as coaches, and with that we come up with a game plan on how we want to handle and how we want to use the guys against those hitters.
In a game day, do you ever warm up the starter? Does he come out and go with you, or does he go with another catcher?
No, depends on like with Jonathan LaCroix, he usually starts the starting pitcher, but where he hits in the lineup is usually a top of the order kind of guy, so he has to get back to hit. So I'll usually finish up the starting pitcher before a game.
What do you look for in a guy when the call comes? When you get when the manager calls down to the bullpen and says, "Let's warm up so and so." What do you look for in that pitcher?
Well, you know, not even so much. You know, these guys are very in tune of what situations they're going to go in. I think the biggest thing that we watch is the demeanor. If their routine has kind of changed over a course of a week or, you know, a month, I mean, you can just maybe see, like, maybe they're not feeling as fresh as they normally are. So those are one things that we kind of, like, really try to watch and tell Craig Counsell, our manager, and our pitching coach, and DJ, just, hey, heads up, this guy might not be feeling as well as he has been. But once they get the call, you know, they have to get ready. Unless something drastic comes up where it's just not coming out at all, you know, they're going to be going in that game.
Yeah, that's one thing I wanted to ask you. Can you override the pitching coach or the manager? Can they call down there and you say, this guy's not, he hadn't got it today?
No, just the biggest thing that we'll say is, like, we'll say, just watch him. you know, see what you see when he gets. A lot of times, guys, when they're getting loose in the bullpen, they're like, they might not be feeling very fresh, but all of a sudden they get with the adrenaline of the fans and the game, all of a sudden stuff kicks in and they're able to go out and compete and do what they need to do.
You've been at this 19 years. How many managers have you been through?
Well, let's see. One, two. I think this is my sixth manager now here in Milwaukee.
And they're all different. They're all different.
Yeah, everyone has different personalities, different ways of running the club. Yeah, so it's very fortunate to be around this long.
And it's no doubt just like a being on a team. Every team is every year is almost probably like a child, isn't it? That you have different memories and different things about every year.
Oh, most definitely. You know, there's some seasons you come in, you know, with the expectations of getting to the postseason. And I still remember 8-11. You know, I mean, those memories will never be forgotten going to the postseason. And so far this year has been very memorable too. It's a different type of year. There's a time to set the foundation of what this organization is going to be in years to come.
Have you had a favorite manager? Have you had somebody that you just were really closer to, or somebody that was a little different than some of the others?
Well, I Ned was one of the a favorite manager here.
Ned Yost.
Ned Yost. Man of faith. Incorporated his coaching staff very well, and he just kept it pretty light in the clubhouse, which it was a good time. But yet he knew when to push forward to make these guys just play at a different level. So I mean, the managers here have been great. It just all have different personalities that work well with the team.
How did you get this position?
Oh, well, I used to play 11 years in the minor leagues. I was approached to maybe continue my career, but at that time I thought, I think it's past. So with having the right connections, I said, hey, I live up near Milwaukee. If they need any help up there, I'd love to do so. And before you know it, I got a call, said, hey, would you be interested in helping out? And so I said, sure. And I said, would you like to be the bullpen catcher? And so I said, I'd love to. So that's how it started.
I know that in 1998 you were on the Atlanta Braves. You were there in camp with guys like John Smoltz and some other, I think Paul Byrd might have been there. They had a number of Christian players on that team. How did that affect your life?
That year was really instrumental in my getting to know who Jesus really was. I was brought up Catholic, and there was a time of Easter, as it is now, and a lot of people were asking me, what are you practicing? What are those things that you're doing? Why don't you eat meat? And I really didn't have really an answer for it. But I could see the guys on the team who, like, man, there's a difference about them. So I started just, like, following them, Paul Byrd and Smoltz, and going to Bible studies, and they just opened up God's Word to me and showed His truth to me, and started going to Bible studies, like I said. And that year, Paul Byrd was supposed to be in the big leagues, and for whatever reason, God put him in AAA, and I believe it was, to minister to me and to some other guys who were seeking after Christ. So that year in AAA, for the first 3.5 months or 4 months until he was traded to Philly, he was building up into me, showing me Christ's word and who he was. So that was a very influential time. It was very impactful to me, the way they used their time to spread the love of Jesus.
I also know that 2001, 9/11 was a big thing for you. How did the 9/11 incident, how did that change your life?
Yeah, I was during that time reading the Left Behind book series, just talking about the rapture of the church. And as 9/11 happened, and as we know what happened with that, all of a sudden I started seeing, man, tomorrow is promised to no one. If Christ was really to come today, I would have been left behind. So with that, I really dove into God's word, and I really wanted to seek after His truth. And so shortly after there in November, I gave my life to Jesus.
Yeah, you're in a day-to-day job. Sometimes it's called a lunch bucket job, 4 till midnight every day. You're with guys out in the bullpen. The game's going on. You're a long way out there. What's the conversation like out there? Is everybody really tuned into the game, or do you talk about all different kinds of things in the bullpen?
The bullpen gets a little looser than most stuff because, like I said, guys are pretty in tune with what's going on, and they pitch every day, so it's kind of the first, like, 2-3 innings, depending on the game, it's kind of just loose banter, whatever it may be, if they're playing a game on the PlayStation or whatnot, but with it, there's also talk with the how the game's going, any situations. And then by the fourth or fifth inning, it is straight go time. It is like guys are stretching, guys are getting ready because they know they're about ready to go in the game. And, you know, there's it's as far as Lee Tunnel and myself being prepared to answer the questions that these guys might have for us with the hitters who are coming up, and then just getting these guys ready to go.
With the relationship that you have with these players, do you have a chance to talk to them about their life, Jesus Christ, what's going on, and kind of be a mentor to them, not just on the field but off the field?
I think most definitely having a chance to just talk with these guys. You know, even those small things you talk about in the bullpen, building relationships with these guys that, man, when there's some hard times and stuff going on, because baseball is a very humbling sport. So you can use the game of baseball, really, to get a chance to talk to these guys and build them up. And some guys are searching, some guys are seeking. So, you know, through the course of the year, you know, there's Bible studies that we got going on. And, you know, as the guys who do go, you know, we kind of pray for those guys who might not be there and or seeking. So with that, yeah, there's opportunities even just shagging in the outfield. Hey, man, how's your day going? And guys might be struggling and just saying, hey, man, let me pray for you, whatever it may be. Even if they, and it seems like no one ever turns down a chance for prayer. So so just those opportunities come up through the course of a day or even through the year.
Have you seen some players over the years, over 19 years, have you seen some players that you feel like I've actually really had a part in changing their life?
Oh, for, most definitely. Corey Hart comes to mind right away. I can remember here in minor league, during the spring training over here on field two, he was having some difficulties back home. We had a friendship relationship, I just said, well, let me pray for you. And I did, and he was very thankful for that. And this was a non-believer. This was a guy who didn't want anything to do with anything. And then that winter, because his kids were going to a Christian school, because it was easier for them to be taken out, his daughters came home with some questions about the Bible, and he had no clue about it, so he started reading it, and next thing I know, he comes to spring training, he's in chapel and Bible study, and man, he's on fire for Jesus. So, yeah, definitely have seen guys, even in this industry, where money can be an idol, money can be a hardship, he's come to know who Jesus is. So, yeah, there's definitely some great stories out there.
You have a ministry, too. I think it's called Coos of Kids. They call you Coos?
Yeah, Coos for Kids. My mom and dad came over from Germany, and with their accents, my first name, Marcus, sounds like Marcus. So it's a chance to do, we help terminally ill and disadvantaged kids in southeastern Wisconsin. It's kind of it's our ministry to also share Jesus with those who are hurting. And so it's been going on since 05, and man, we've been able to do a world of difference in making a big impact in the lives of those.
You got to be in great shape to do this, because you're in the crouch a lot of times every day, and you got to throw a lot of balls, you throw batting practice. How long can you do this?
I don't know. Everyone keeps asking. The Lord's blessed me with a body that's holding up, so I'll just keep doing this as long as the Lord says and lets me be able to.
Marcus, thanks for spending time with us. Let's close it out this way. Do you have a favorite verse? Do you have anything that comes to your mind that sticks out?
Yeah, I've got a couple. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on things of this world. And I mean, just, you know, so much in this industry, like I said, we can get focused on things of this world, and we're supposed to be focused on Him. And the other thing is 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil company corrupts good habits. And it's so important for us to surround ourselves with like-minded people who will keep us on a straight path toward Jesus. And it's easy just to surround yourself with, and you can get caught up with hanging out with the wrong people, and they'll bring you down no matter what. So that's a very, very important verse for me, to stay in tune with the Lord and being with like-minded brothers.
Marcus, thanks for being with us. Thanks for your testimony, your witness, the way that you have been able to influence people on and off the field. And it's been a pleasure to have you on Face-to-Face.
Hey, thank you so much for your ministry. Really appreciate it.
All right. Marcus Hanel, bullpen coach for the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll take a break and be back, so don't go away. You're listening to Face-to-Face. Welcome back. Hope you enjoyed our time with Blaine Boyer and Marcus Hanel. I don't think we've done that kind of a show too often, but sometimes when there's such a hubbub, I'll tell you, sometimes when you walk into a spring training clubhouse, and I've been into a lot of them, there is a lot of activity. Usually you have 25 players and maybe four or five coaches, and that's about the extent of what you find in a clubhouse. But in spring training, you have 40 to 45 players, and you've got a number of spring training coaches. So it gets really crowded and noisy, and I appreciate the fact that Blaine and Marcus were able to take some time. You can obviously hear this interview on our website. Our website is at facetofaceradio.com. We hope that you'll check that out. And also check out some of the other things that we have going on. We have this show that we've had here. We've had these interviews, and then we also have a number of other interviews. And so hope that you'll tell your friends to make sure that they listen to facetofaceradio.com, and they can hear all of this, all the various things that we have here. We also want to let you know what's coming up. One of the things coming up is our golf tourney, June 14th. We will be at the Otter Creek Golf Course in Columbus, Indiana. A $125 fee gets you on one of the most beautiful courses in America. You get lunch, dinner, and all sorts of prizes. And you can also check that out at our website and sign up through our website. Well, before we leave you today, we want to give you a verse, and the verse we want to give you comes from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 13 and 14. It says this: "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." That verse was written by the Lord, and it was written to the Israelites as they were taken away. But Jeremiah 29:11, which comes out right before that, just says, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you." And that's always a good verse for us. Always shows that God wants to take care of us. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana 47202, or call Face to Face Ministries at 812-376-3000 or toll free at 1-800-479-0952. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face.